racing fans. I'm here at Coast Access Radio on 104.7 FM, and you're listening to the first ever episode of my new show, Redline. I'm your host, Noah, and today we're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff, really. We're going to talk about some current events. We just had the Monaco GP over the weekend, which was, that was a blast to watch. I didn't get to watch it live because it's 1 a.m. on a Monday for us in New Zealand. But I did get to watch all the highlights, and damn, it was entertaining. I'll be telling you all about it. We're doing a little bit on what happened in the Indy 500, which we also had, I think it was about 3 a.m. for us. I've done a little bit into that and just to see what happened. I haven't fully watched all the highlights yet, but we'll get chatting about it anyway. And we have some brand new news with the V8 supercars and New Zealand. I won't tell you what it is yet. You might know already. You'll find out. We'll talk about it, all right? So, let's get started with the first topic here. Formula One, one of the pinnacles of motorsport. It is great. It's fun. It's easy to get into. That's part of why I absolutely love F1, is because it's just super easy to get into. You've got the app. You've got all the highlights. It's just so easy for anyone who's like, I want to get into motorsport. Where do you go? The first thing that the media picks is usually something like F1. So, you pick it up. Oh, this is cool, and that is an entry into other forms of motorsport, such as WEC, DTM, WRC Rally, V8 Supercars, whatever else it is probably what has built the foundations of a lot of us racing fans. I mean, along with that, and video games for me, and a bunch of other stuff. But we'll talk about that later. That's all different stuff. I'll talk about my story another time. Well, the main thing to talk about is the Monaco GP, and oh boy, was it interesting. This was the first Monaco GP to require the drivers to take 2 pit stops, and kind of made it more about strategy, which I think was an interesting move, but also a smart move, considering the cars have just gotten so much larger over the years, and it's made it really difficult just for overtaking opportunities, and usually it's just, oh, you qualified first? Cool, you get first in the race. Unless you'd bin it through the wall in the chicane, or something like that. But it's just become like this really boring kind of train, and you know, sometimes someone gets on the inside and then shoves someone wide, and it just, you can make the move stick. But most of the time, it's just a railroad. But what F1 did, F1 is requiring the drivers to pit twice, at least twice, throughout the race. There is a pit window, and once that pit window opens, it's from then until the end of the race, and you have to pit twice. This means, you know, you can go for overcuts, undercuts, your strategy is constantly changing, you get to switch compounds of tires more often because you have the options for more pits, and since everyone's doing more pits, you're not going to lose that much time. There's all of these different strategies that have just opened up, and it's so interesting. It actually made a really fun qualifying because people were squabbling, and then a really fun race, because most of the time, Monaco, you just enjoy the qualifying. But that's not to say the qualifying for this Monaco GP wasn't interesting, because, oh boy, was it interesting, all right? Let's start at Q1, okay? First, we had Kimi Antonelli, which was absolutely tragic. He crashed in the Nouvelle Chicane on the entry in the kind of first left-hander into the Nouvelle Chicane. A lot of Monaco, there's just barriers. There's just metal barriers that you can hit, and since these are open-wheelers, you look at them the wrong way and they kind of crumble and fall apart. He had just clipped that apex and just popped his front left tire. You know, it comes off the rim and then he tries to turn to get into the right for the chicane and then go onto the straight. He just can't get it turned and he ends up just hitting into the wall. That was really unfortunate to watch. Kimi was absolutely devastated over the radio. Actually, let's take a listen into what he said over the radio. He just sounded devastated.
Okay, mate, you're okay?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's quite bad. You okay there?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, it's nice that his race engineer was, like, just trying to help him out, but after just such a, you know, dominant high, and after what must feel like such a stupid mistake, it just cutting the corner a bit too much and just clipping that apex, it just must be really rough. But it happens. Monaco is like that. Monaco is deadly. It'll take you out if you just look at a wall the wrong way. It's tight, it's unforgiving, and that's just how it is. It was really unfortunate. But Liam Lawson With a strong start, sitting at P12, which clears him to go into Q2, which is great. Liam Lawson actually did pretty well, and I'm actually really proud of Liam, actually. Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen also had a little bit of a squabble. So Lewis Hamilton was, I don't remember what corner it is, but it's like one of the really fast left-handers that you kind of go up as you're going through. And Lewis Hamilton was just finishing his fast lap, and I think he was on a cool-down lap. And Max Verstappen's coming up behind him. Lewis gets the message, all right, 3 seconds behind, Max is coming. I don't know if they said he was slowing down, if he was on a hot lap. They might have said he was slowing down, so Lewis, I think, got confused, goes out into the middle of the race surface, and then comes back to the apex. Max is on a flying lap, trying to get the lap in. Lewis impedes him, and Max was not very happy at all. He said a lot of things that you couldn't broadcast on here, I'm gonna be honest. But that's Max's hot-headedness, and that's just Max Verstappen, really. But it must have been frustrating getting impeded like that. But things happen, all right? It happens. Yeah, Q1 was kind of uneventful. You had most of the slower drivers taken out, the usuals, I guess, if you want to call them the usuals. Just teams with slower cars, like Kicksalber. The normal. Then we had Q2. Q2 was actually interesting. We already had one of the Mercedes out, right? Well, George Russell, unfortunately, hit a bump the wrong way, apparently, according to him and his radio message, and he completely lost power to his car.
Lost power. Hit a bump. Lost power.
As you can see, that Mercedes moving very slowly in the tunnel. So does he have any power to get back? It looks like it's switched off.
And a really, really tough qualifying. That is over for Mercedes with 10 minutes still on the clock in Q2.
Oh, it was so sad. It left both of them sitting at P14 and P15. And it just must be a devastating weekend for Mercedes, especially in qualifying. But it seems like they picked it back up in the race, although they did have some messy moments. We also had Liam Lawson holding on to a P9, which he's doing well. He's doing surprisingly well in Monaco. It seems like with every race, he's getting more and more comfortable with the car and just how it drives. And he's just getting more comfortable. And I think that's what Helmut Marko should have, you know, given him. He should have given him that time. I'm going to go on a rant really quick. He should have given him that time to just settle and become comfortable with the car, because especially with the, you know, the main Red Bull team, the car is set up to, I believe so, to be very kind of driven on the nose. It'll oversteer, it likes to be driven on the limit in a way. Like, it forces you to kind of neutral steer and use slip angle and all that kind of stuff. And it makes it really difficult from a normally balanced F1 car and then going to this kind of car, which is more downforce on the front, and more downforce coming from the front wing, and it's just harder to drive. You're going to spin more often, it's harder to perform, it's more twitchy, but that's just how Max likes it, and let's be honest, Red Bull kind of favors Max a little bit, I'm just saying. But that's just how it went, and they didn't even give him a chance. They gave him like 2 races, and then they knocked him out, and it's just, I don't get it. They just kicked him out, and it was so sad. But he held on to a P9, which is great. I'm so happy for him. And even better, he was ahead of Yuki Tsunoda, who ended up in P12, that actually surprised the commentators. It surprised Crofty, he was slower than the rest, really. And it's unusual, because usually we see Yuki in that kind of higher up pack, but no, he was slower in Q2. We then had Lando Norris snagging P1, Charles Leclerc in P2, and Alex Albon in P3. I think that was a shock for a lot of us. I didn't expect a Williams to be that high in the standings. but hey, we got it, and I'll take it. And we had most of the usual drivers. We had Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, Oscar Piastri. The normal drivers. The normal suspects that you might see, right? Now we get to Q3. Q3 was, oh my god, it was so beautiful. It was everything I could have asked for from a Q3. From a Monaco, you know, Q3. It's just, all the fast drivers are there. Liam Lawson is there. And that was really cool to see. But, oh, it was so intense. I'm gonna tell you. Okay. So we had the usuals, the two McLarens, Oscar and Lando. They were jockeying for position one after the other, setting fastest laps. It was just Lando would get a fastest lap, Oscar would get a fastest lap, Lando would get a fastest lap, Oscar would get a fastest lap. And it was just going and going and going and going. But of course, we have the fan favorite, the one who's at his home race, Charles Leclerc, chasing after them, and he's gaining some time. Same with Lewis Hamilton, and same with Verstappen, who is just trying to get pace. He's already had a bit of a rough moment in the previous qualifyings, but he is trying to make up that time. In an absolutely beautiful moment, everyone's jockeying for position, Charles Leclerc goes purple in the middle sector. And this is where it all starts to fall into place. Charles Leclerc absolutely has a rapid run through Sector 3, and sends it over the line and takes provisional pole over the two McLarens as the clock's hitting zero. He has basically scored this already. Crofty is screaming, the grandstands are up and they're cheering. It is a beautiful moment. It was so cool to watch. I'll play the audio for you right now. I don't think I'd do it justice. Crofty did some beautiful commentary on it, and this is what he had to say.
Hamilton's within a tenth of Lando Norris and gaining. Couple of corners to go. Can Hamilton upset the McLarens?
Well, he was beautiful as he exited Vasquez, maybe a little bit wide through the final corner.
Hamilton to the line. Hamilton gets it to third, but there was a massive cheer from the crowd because Charles Leclerc had the fastest middle sector of anyone so far. Can it be more Monaco magic for Charles Leclerc? He's done it! Charles Leclerc takes provisional pole! He beats both McLarens!
But it wasn't over yet, because we still have the two beasts, the two McLarens, coming after them. And Lando Norris hasn't finished his lap yet. The clock's at zero, but you still get to finish that lap you're on. Miraculously, Lando Norris pushing as fast as he can, I guess, doing a flying run, manages to clinch the pole position and get the new Monaco track world record of a 109.954. Wow, it was so beautiful. It was just such an awesome sight. He had to have been stoked just to get that record. And Charles Leclerc basically having it, and then Lando coming in just taking it away. It was a cool moment. I really wish Charles had gotten it, but Lando also deserves that. I think he had a phenomenal drive in that qualifying. So that stepped down Leclerc to P2. We had Oscar Piastri P3. And we had Max Verstappen in position 5. He was unable to just get a good run. It was kind of weird to see. We're used to seeing him way, way up there. But at least in this Monaco GP, he just hasn't been doing very good. It's definitely weird to see. But our boy, our main man, Liam Lawson, came with a P9 finish, which is pretty solid for the start of the race. It's, you know, midfield, it gives you some time to work with things, you've got good pit stop strategies and options because you're in the middle. You have so many options available to you, you know, you can do whatever you want, basically. You're pretty open. This is when things got exciting. It's lights out at Monaco. We're going to have a great race, we've had a great qualifying already, and a different shake-up in the way the pit stops are working. We were expecting something magnificent, and that's kind of what we got. This race was at 1 a.m. for us, on a Monday, which is pretty rough, but like, that's what it's like being down here in New Zealand. We just don't get very good times for any of the races, which is why I personally watch endurance racing, because I can watch it anytime I want, and it usually just, I'm able to catch it, and it's on the weekends, and it's set at good times. It just makes sense for me, to be honest. That's why I watch endurance racing, and endurance racing is really entertaining, but we'll get into that later. Anyway, I'm gonna kind of go through this quickly, but it was a long race, it was an interesting race, it was a kind of boring race. But, lap one, here we go. Lights out. Lando Norris holding the lead, clearly off the line from pole. Charles Leclerc challenging him, keeps P2. Lando Norris keeps P1. And then instantly, we had drama and honestly a really funny, kind of just dumb crash. I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna be for real. So we had Gabriel Bortoleto going on the outside of Kimi Antonelli. He catches him on the hairpin. Kimi doesn't really fight her too much, lets him by. Gabriel Bortoleto then into the right-hander, which goes into the Monaco tunnel. You go all the way through. He takes the outside. Kimi lunges it onto the inside. And I guess Gabriel just didn't back out, and Kimi just kind of takes the line. And Monaco is one of those circuits. Someone gets alongside, you should kind of just back out for the sake of yourself. Kimi kind of pushes him out. Gabriel understeers his front left. He cooks it, and he just goes into the barrier and causes a virtual safety car. And oh my gosh, it was... I'm going to be honest, I had a bit of a chuckle. It was funny. There was no major damage to any of the field, but it was an early kind of quit to the race. It kind of ruined, disrupted a little bit of the flow, but everything got going. It's classic Monaco. What else could I ask for? Let's be honest. Then we carried on. More drama. Lap 9, we had Pierre Gasly, who retired with a brake failure, and it was just really disappointing. Pierre Gasly coming out of the tunnel, absolute rocket. In front of him is Yuki Tsunoda. He goes to kind of go on the right of him, and he hits his brakes. His brakes aren't working as well. He has a brake failure. He's going over the crest as well, which lightens up the car, shakes his wheel a bit, means the brakes are rendered more useless than they kind of already are at this point. And he just absolutely sends it into Yuki Tsunoda's right rear tire, and Pierre Gasly's front left tire snaps, and he's put out of the race. It was rough to see. He kind of drives it back, he crawls it back, but yeah, that was pretty rough. And at lap 9 as well, it's a rough time for Alpine, disappointment for Alpine. But anyway, pit window opens around lap 16 to lap 30, and this is where we see our first strategic moves. All the backmarkers, Valtteri Bottas, Logan Sargeant, they're all going to pit early because they're going to go for an undercut. And that's probably what I would do. I race in a little karting league, which I'll get into another time or later. In that league, often when you're at the back, you just pit straight away after you get your first registered lap because you want to just get out of there and get yourself some clear air and get that pit done. Because most of the time, you can claw back a race from last to first. You can 100% do that if you just go for the undercut. And that's what these mandatory pit stops were making the drivers do. It was giving them opportunities to move up and down the grid with just strategy alone. Because Monaco does, let's be honest, sacrifice a bit of that racecraft just in modern days. We had Lawson and Hajar in the midfield. They were executing more smart undercuts as well. They were pitting still early, but they weren't too early like a lot of the backmarkers. They were more midfield. Lawson pitted around lap 21, and he gained a lap position and he ends up gaining a track position after the shuffle of everyone moving up and down and pitting. The leaders, McLaren and Red Bull, their goals are to stay out longer because they're going for a really, really late double stop. And this is often really beneficial if you have a fast car and you're just like, all right, I'm going to send it. I know I can make this work and you can make up heaps of time, and then you can go for a double stop at the end and you can change that to be earlier or later if you want to pit and before the guy in front of you. Whatever you want to do, you have that option, and it's sometimes smart to save your pits for later, especially if you're in a fast car or fast kart, whatever discipline of motorsport you're in. Pits matter. Pits really matter. The second pit cycle, which was around 31:45, we had Lando Norris pitting around lap 33 with Leclerc and Piastri following within two laps. Clean pit stops, no position changes among the top three. Verstappen and Hamilton mirroring the strategies. They were trying to just cover each other off and predict each other and just not lose any positions. It was, to be honest, a pretty boring race. There isn't much to report on this. In the closing stages, which is around lap 46 to 78, Norris just managing the gap. Leclerc's pushing, but he's just struggling to make a dent in any of, you know, that time. And it's just really hard to lunge on Monaco. It's really hard to do anything on Monaco. That's the annoying thing about Monaco, is it's just hard to do and hard to race on. And this restricts racecraft, which is why a lot of drivers and, you know, fans alike, like me, don't really like Monaco anymore, because it's just so tight. But with the pit stops they're introducing, it's definitely helping. Lap 60 to 65, you're starting to get some drama with backmarkers, with, you know, drivers like Zhao and Lance Stroll, who shouldn't be in F1. You know, you have to get through carefully, but usually there's no issues with backmarkers, especially if your car is just fast. Lap 70, Lawson, running P8. Beautiful! He is holding off pressure from Alex Albon behind him, making sure his teammate up ahead Isaac Hadjar is able to get ahead and just start getting points. Liam is in the points currently. He's able to just push and push and push and push. And he's secured the points for his team. He's all set. He's all good. He doesn't have to do anything else except just push as best as he can. Then we get to the finish, lap 78. Lando Norris takes the checkered flag, his second win of the season and his first ever win in Monaco. Charles Leclerc pulling up behind, about a 3 second gap between them. Lando Norris was ecstatic. Crofty did a beautiful commentary of Lando's final lap. He did it last year as well with Charles Leclerc. That was beautiful. It was eye-watering, to be honest. The commentary in the F1 races is always beautiful.
Every driver dreams of this moment, leading the Monaco Grand Prix. On the last lap, Lando will join the legendary winners of this race. Lando Norris wins the Monaco Grand Prix.
There you go. He won at Monaco, baby.
Monaco, baby. Yeah, baby. Woo! We did it. Well done. We won at Monaco. It's a dream. Well done, guys. Unbelievable job. Amazing weekend. Thank you so much.
So we had Leclerc in P2 in his home race. He was definitely frustrated, but, you know, that's a P2. You can be happy with that. That's another podium at your home country, at your home race. You know, you've got to be happy with that, right? Then we had Piastri completing the podium with a 2 McLarens on the podium, and he retains his championship lead only by 3 points now, so it's getting close between the 2 McLarens, and I'm excited to see where it goes. We then had Verstappen finishing P4, Hamilton P5, and a standout mid-pack, we had Isaac Hadjar in P6, Yuki Tsunoda P7, and Lawson in P8. His best finish of the season. I'm so excited to see where he goes and how he takes this. It's going to be amazing to see him get comfortable and just keep pushing. Alright, now let's go briefly over what happened in the Indy 500. A very big race, one of the biggest races in motorsport, but for Kiwis it was kind of a day to forget, to be honest. We had Scott McLaughlin crashing during the warm-up lap, which is really unfortunate, unable to start the race, premature end to what never really began, but it is what it is, it happens. Then we had Scott Dixon, and Dixon's race was just rough. He had mechanical issues throughout the entire race, and that just made him struggle to be competitive and catch up to the front pack. But that's okay, it happens, it is what it is. The Indy 500 was a historic victory, though, for Alex Palou? Palou? Palou. I'm honestly not sure, I'm sorry if you are listening to this for some reason. He is the very first Spanish driver to win the prestigious race, and he secured the win by overtaking Marcus Ericsson with 16 laps remaining, and a late race crash led to the race finishing under caution, which we don't like races finishing under caution, but it did cement his win, and I'm sure he's really happy with it. I'd be happy with it, like, with a win, of course. If I won the Indy 500, I would be ecstatic. I would be so happy, but I'm not really into IndyCar. I would love to actually race in something like a GT3 or in something like WEC, whether it's in a hypercar or it's in one of the LMGT3 cars. That would be a dream come true, seriously. I love GT3s and all of their racing. I think it's such close racing, and it's just enjoyable. But for a lot of NZ race fans, let's be honest, a lot of you at some point have been getting into V8 supercars. I'm not really into V8 supercars yet, but just in recent news, we've got something super cool. We have confirmed 2 new NZ tracks for the 2026 and 2028 seasons calendars. And those tracks are going to be Topol, which is going to be continuing, which is great. From the people who went up there and watched it live, they said it was really good and just really cool racing. I love street circuits, especially with the V8 supercars, because you can touch them a bit more and they can, you know, they can wiggle around and, you know, but rubbing is racing, that kind of thing. But the second track on this calendar is Ruapuna in Christchurch. This is going to be so sweet. It looks like a pretty cool track. Although a kind of simple road course, it's a new track on a new calendar. I'd never even heard of this circuit before. And it's actually pretty cool. It is 3.3 kilometers, and in its current configuration, it has 11 turns. It's got six different configurations, and it's kind of set in a tri-oval kind of part. There's a part of it that's like a tri-oval. All of the lines and entries in the corners seem really interesting and difficult to get down. So I'm sure it's going to, you know, prove to be good racing. I'm excited for it. It opened in November 1963, and it's got some pretty cool stuff there. The main straight is used as a drag strip, which is pretty cool. It has a racing school and even a radio-controlled car circuit, which is pretty cool. I want to go see that. And I'm excited to see the supercars race there next year. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. All right, that's a little bit of motorsport news and just what's been going on. I want to tell you a little bit about me and just who I am. Well, if you didn't know, my name's Noah and I'm 16. And I live around Carpity, alright? It's so cool up here, I love it up here. It's really cool, and I am a motorsport fan. And I do a little bit of racing. My dream is to, as I was talking about before, my dream is definitely to race in some sort of GT3 or race in WEC, something like that. My dream is to race. That's just what's in my blood, it's what's in my bones. I really want to race. I'm into cars. I've got my own car at the moment, just recently, a couple months ago. I have a 1992 Celica GTR, which currently doesn't run, of course, because it's from the 90s. not all 90s cars are bad, it just needs some work. I need some new piston rings, and I need to do all the seals, and it needs some stuff on the steering done before I can get it properly certified and on the road. So you'll probably hear me talking about that throughout my different programs and just how that's going. It's going to be my little daily report of what I'm up to and just how that car's going and has it blown up yet? Do I need another head gasket? Already. We'll find out. It's a 5-speed manual. I absolutely love her for the time I did get to drive her before, you know, she decided to just stop starting for some reason after we left it on the side of the road. I don't know what happened, I'm gonna be really real. I think it's the timing belt. I really hope it's not the timing belt, but we're taking apart the whole head anyway, so I don't think I really care what it is at this point. Anyways, I race in a small league down in Brewtown, if any of you have been there. It's in the hut. I race in the little Daytona Racing League. It's all rental karting. It's fun. It's a great community. If you want to join any racing league and you're in the area, go check them out. They're such good people, they're just so nice, and it's such a welcoming community. I do both teams racing with my teammate, his name's Johnny. Our team is called Don't Care, because we didn't really care about what our team name was, so we called it Don't Care. And we just try and have fun out there, to be honest. We're kind of just having fun. We're trying to be competitive, and we usually are competitive in the, like, top two, top three, most of the time. But we're trying to have fun. Teams is like my fun kind of racing and just a good chance to talk to people and hone my skills. And then I am in the singles as well in the A League. I think it's the A League with the adults. And that's a lot of fun. It's really competitive. There's about 17 or 18 karts on track at one time in an indoor kart track that you sometimes struggle to be too wide in. It's chaos, you can imagine. There's sometimes some crashes, but hey, it's really enjoyable, and I love it so much. Alright, to be honest, that's really all there is to know about me for now. I like motorsport, I like cars, and this is really just my passion. I don't know everything, and I'm gonna get stuff wrong, but I just want to learn, and I want to just talk about this passion that everyone around the world probably has a little bit in them. And especially in New Zealand, and whoever's listening to this show, I'm sure you share that same passion as me for cars, for motorsport, for these engines that roar to life and just give us that life in us, you know? I hope you learned something today. If you didn't, that's okay. I hope you enjoyed. And I will see you on the next episode of Redline.